morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys today. It's always a pleasure to worship the Lord as a family, as a community. There's something about worshiping Jesus as one body. We're just going to go ahead and pray and get right into it this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you, God, for your presence in this place, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We worship you, God. We bless your name, Lord, and we lift your name above every other name, God. We just pray, God, that your atmosphere, God, that you would, that your presence would continue to fill this place. That you'd begin to change the atmosphere of our lives, God, of our hearts, of our minds. We pray you'd come and transform us this morning, Holy Spirit. Come and work in our hearts. Let your presence fill this room, God. Let your presence fill our hearts, Lord. We desire more of you, God. We have come here to encounter you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love your presence, God. Lord, in your presence, there's fullness of joy, God. And we just thank you so much, God, for your presence in our lives, in our hearts, God. We worship your name this morning, God.
On us, we need your presence.
presence, for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in our lives, God. That you are victorious, God, over every battle, over challenges that we face, God. That you are always with us, Lord. That you go behind us and before us, that you are all around us. And Lord, we lean into your victory, God, of our lives. Lord, in our weakness, we declare that you are strong. We turn to you this morning, Jesus. We thank you, God, for everything that you're doing, Lord.
Our fight is with weapons unseen. Your enemies crash to their knees as we rise up and worship. When trials unleash like a flood, the battle belongs to our God as we cry out in worship. Oh Lord, 'cause the victory is yours, you're riding on the storm. Your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands it all. Your name is unshaken. What hell meant to break me has failed. Nothing will silence my praise. I will cry out in worship. Oh, yes, I will. Lord, oh, the walls of the prisons will shake. Oh, 'cause the chain-breaking King will rise to save as we cry out in worship. Oh, victory is yours, you're riding on the storm, and your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands it all. Oh, your name is unshaken, the victory is yours, you're riding on the storm. Lord, your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands them all. Lord, your name is unshaken. Oh, unshaken, Lord. Yes, you are. Unshaken, Lord. God, there is no one like you. There is no one like you. You roll like thunder. Nothing can shake that them all, Lord, your name is You're riding on the storm, Lord. Oh, your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands them all. Lord, your name is unshaken. You rule like thunder. Nothing can take God all powerful.
Victorious in you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we ask, God, that you'd continue to come and minister to us, Lord. God, we worship you, Lord. We declare that you are the Lion and the Lamb, God, that you were slain for us, Lord, and you came, God, and you resurrected to give us life, God. Jesus, we love you. Continue to fill this place, God. You are the Lion and the Lamb, God. We love you so much, Jesus. We worship you. There's nothing like worshiping you together, God, as a family, as a community, God. You have brought us together and made us one, and we thank you, God, for your love, Lord. We thank you for your love, which is so unfailing, so unconditional, God, so abundant, God, and so far beyond our understanding, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stronger than the power of the grave. Yes, it's constant in the trial and the change. Just one thing remains. Oh, just one thing remains. And your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Lord, your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love.
Gives up, it never runs out. Good morning, church. How's everyone doing on this beautiful sunny day? Praise the Lord. We're doing well.
We want to welcome each and every single one of you to this church, to Christian Worship Center. We're so glad that you are with us, especially if this is your first time with us here today. We extend a very warm welcome to you because we love seeing new faces. We love seeing people from the community join us, and it just brings so much joy to our heart. So thank you for coming by. We hope you enjoy the service.
Yeah, absolutely. You are more than welcome. We wanted to give you guys a couple announcements. Summer fun is still continuing. We have a very special event going on tonight, and that is our missions auction banquet. Raise your hand if you already bought your ticket and you're going tonight. Woo! All right, awesome. We cannot be more excited for this. We still have tickets available. We'll be selling them right after church. So please, if you or you know anybody who would want to come, taste some really good foods,
Yeah, we actually have a very exciting menu prepared for tonight. You're probably wondering why I'm wearing a chef's hat. It's because we are having some really gourmet food prepared by an awesome chef. We have two main courses on the menu. The first is smoked ribs, and the other one is grilled salmon. Yes. So if that's making your water mouth right now, I suggest that you buy tickets right after the service. We'll be selling tickets right outside. This whole thing is a fundraising banquet. It's an auction. There's going to be tables set up here. It's going to be a restaurant style with servers coming up to you, taking your order. And I can assure you the food, you would not be disappointed. And it's three courses, and it's delicious. Yeah, it's something really, really you do good. Not want to miss. We also have an auction there. We will be auctioning off some items, some services. To give you an idea of what you can expect at the auction, we have a mosquito treatment. Has anyone been bugged by mosquitoes this season? We have a photo photography session if you wanted to take family portraits. We have a pressure washing if you ever wanted to renew your deck, your siding. So these are all services and much more that we'll be auctioning off today at 5 p.m. And Beth, the tickets are what? Still selling?
Yeah, the tickets are still selling. They'll be selling today after church and also at the door. So if you want to bring your kids with you, we have people that will be taking care of kids as well. It's $10 a ticket for kids, $35 for adults. So please come and see us for that. But guys, just so you know, everybody, the entire church is involved in this. Not only are the youth coming to serve you at this banquet, but I mean, people who, some of these auction items that we're doing, it's some of our own church members who are saying yes to supporting this mission. But speaking of supporting this mission even more, the people that we go see in Mexico, the pastors, the missionaries there, they have actually asked us for a few favors. But one of them was for us to help them out with transportation. It takes them a long time for them to walk from village to village to the places where they need to go and spread the gospel. So, Ilya, what is one way that we can help them out?
Yeah, so we're actually having a bike drive because these pastors, these missionaries in Mexico, in the Sierra Mountains, they're in desperate need of bicycles. So if you have a bicycle that's in your garage and you were thinking about throwing it out, maybe there's a loose bolt in there and you're like, I have no idea how to fix this.
We'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll fix it. Bring it over to the church. We can offer to pick it up. The pastors will greatly appreciate. For them, it's a big, big deal. For you, it might not be such a big deal, but a bicycle is very needed. So this entire week, we are accepting bicycles. You can bring them to the church, or if you'd like, we can come and pick it up. Just call or text that number on the screen. We'll be glad to pick it up. This information is also on our Facebook page. So that would be one awesome way for you to help and support the mission trip.
And again, just continue on with that, a little bit more support. Some of our youth will also be offering some car detailing this Monday. So if you would like to come get your car not only washed from the outside, but nicely clean on the inside, we will be doing that for you. Just some donations, just for extra, for us to be able to support the Mexican Mission Trip even more. So
yeah, so that's a full-on car wash. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring it to the church tomorrow between 8 and noon, we'll be having a team here washing the car inside and out. So that's also all the funds are going to the Mexico mission trip, which, by the way, is this Saturday. Our team
yes.
is leaving. We have an awesome team
Please
of
pray
youth
for them.
and young adults going to Mexico. It's for a whole week.
Yeah.
You know, our church is really passionate about missions. We know that this is something that Christ has instilled and called us to do. So we are supposed to be a light to this community as well as other communities around us. So we always have an awesome time. It's an annual trip that we do for our missions trip in Mexico. We work with local missionaries there. So we know that things are not just being done carelessly. It's very diligent, and we try to do the most impact. So again, all of these things are towards that trip. So it's going to be an awesome financial blessing. If you want to get involved, please do so in one of these ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And know that in that way you'll be part of the testimonies as soon as they get back from Mexico. But last and not least, ladies, let me hear a shout out. Who are ladies in the room? Yes, they're here. Amazing. Well, we have good news for you. Once again, we're just reminding you that there's a ladies' lock-in coming up, and that is in a couple of weeks. We have information on it on the flyers. Unfortunately, our address did not go up there just yet, but if you have any questions, just contact the number on the or on the bulletin. I'm sorry, not the flyer. On the bulletin for you to know more details as to that. But try and encourage the husbands out there who have kids. Please encourage your wives to go, okay? And young ladies, you're more than welcome to come as well. It's not just for moms. So please come and join us. Let's have a good time. Let's fellowship. Let's seek the Lord together. Amen?
Amen. So I know that was a handful, a lot to take in. All of the information is in the bulletins that you can refer to. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us after the service. Again, we'll be selling tickets right outside here for the banquet. So with all that said, let's invite the ushers up front. We're going to continue worshiping God with our tithes and offering towards His kingdom, sowing seeds into the gospel for it to be spread out into our community. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being good to us, God. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us to just be here in this place, God. You have given us so many things in our life, God. A lot of things we even take for granted, God. And I just pray that we would have a grateful heart. We would have a thankful heart, God. And we would be people who are extremely generous, God. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that all these financial seeds, God, would be sown into Your kingdom, God, to spread the light of the gospel message to those around us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Church. We welcome everyone today, Christian Worship Center. Am I on? Hopefully you can hear me. If not, I'll just yell loud. Oh, there you go, I'm on. Welcome to church. If you're visiting with us, we especially welcome you. I'm so glad you're here, and I pray that you're going to be blessed today by God's presence and His goodness and His Word. As Ellie and Beth already mentioned, I hope you're excited about tonight. Let me just put on a salesman hat for just a moment here. I used to work as a salesman for many years. And tell you that you do not want to miss tonight. It'll be the best smoked ribs north of Texas.
and it'll be the best grilled salmon you ever tried. If you don't like it, I'll give you money back personally. But you want to come tonight, it's a great cause. It's a great blessing. You know, what a fun way of supporting missions. Our church is very passionate about missions. We were talking to some of the leaders who are going this week, and I was emphasizing that this is a youth trip, and a lot of young people are going, but there's one reason why we do that. Number one reason is the gospel. Besides all other reasons, is the gospel. We want to preach the gospel in the most unreached places, and the places we're going is actually one of the last remaining most unreached places in North America. So, like last year, we've been to a village that they haven't heard a gospel in centuries. It's that remote and it's that crucial, and we have a privilege of partnering with local missionaries and spreading the gospel to the remotest parts in our continent. So I hope you support that. Again, if you want to take advice today, skip lunch. Just be hungry till 5 o'clock and come and you'll be blessed. Amen. Bring your family, bring your friends, and it's a great cause. All the proceeds are going to go towards the missions, and I'll have a privilege of not just preaching this morning for you, but cooking for you all day long, and you want to enjoy that. So let's switch the hats to the preacher hats. Today we are continuing a series called Recalibrate, and we started a couple of Sundays ago. Last Sunday we talked about Trinity, that our God is triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally existing together as a triune God, three persons but one God. Very important, and our faith rests upon the foundation of God's character, God's nature as a triune God. We believe in Trinity, and Trinity is not God who existed as a Father before, then became a Son, now became Holy Spirit. That's not Trinity. Trinity is God existing as one God, three persons, always existing as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about God the Father, one person of the Trinity, and we're going to look through the Bible and talk about some of the attributes of God. Now, word attribute or traits of His character is what we assign, or what Bible actually shows us who God is for us people to understand. God is obviously way bigger than our understanding, and we can't possibly fully comprehend Him, but He reveals Himself to us in the Scripture. Amen? And that's why we are so excited to go through the Scriptures, and that's why we always look back to the Bible. That's why we call this series Recalibrate, because we want to make sure that our faith rests on a God of the Bible. Amen? Not God that somebody else talks about, but God of the Bible. God who revealed Himself through the Scriptures and continues to reveal Himself. But this is our standard, and we compare and align everything to God's standard. As I mentioned to you last Sunday, what you believe about God is the most important thing you believe in life. Because what you believe about God will define how you live, will define how you treat other people, will define your values, will define everything you do. What you believe about God is absolutely crucial, and that's why we have to be absolutely certain that what we believe about God is what God has revealed Himself in the Scriptures to us. So today we're going to talk about God the Father, and I picked just a couple of character traits or attributes of God that I would like to touch on today. Our God is an eternal God. He's all-powerful God. He's all-present God. He is wise. He is just. He is holy. He is loving. There are so many words and attributes that describe our God. But today I'm going to talk to you about three of them. One is God is holy, and He is unchangeable, and He is loving. Those three things I would like to touch on this morning, and I pray that you're going to be blessed. Scripture I have for us this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19. Word of God says the following: Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, You shall be holy, for I am holy. If you are addressed as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you make the Word of God alive in our hearts. I pray that you align our hearts and our mind and our convictions, God, with the truth of the Word of God. I pray that every lie of the enemy and every confusion will be broken down and destroyed by the truth of God's Word. Open the hearts to hear, speak to us, uplift us, encourage us, align us with your heart, with your Word, with your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's start today by talking about holiness of God. The word holy in Hebrew actually means, in its basic form, means to be separate. The idea is that it's kind of like when you're cutting vegetables in the board, you're cutting them and you're separating them and they're reserved for something else. The word literally means to cut and separate. And the word describes God the most because God is creator and we are creation. So when Word of God says that God is holy, it means that He is distinct and separate in His own nature away from anything and everybody around Him because He is only one who is the creator. Amen? All of us are creation. Angels are creation. Everything you see and don't see is creation. Only God is the creator. So He is the only one who is absolutely holy. He is the only one who is holy in His own league. Nothing and no one comes close to Him. Now, God has called us to be holy. We're going to touch on that in a moment. But before we get there, we have to understand the holy nature of God. Holiness is a governing attribute of God. God can never compromise His holiness. Love of God cannot compromise God's holiness. Nothing that God does or will ever do can compromise God's holiness because holiness is who God is. If you look throughout the Scripture, you see in the Old Testament especially, you see many pictures of, even pictures in heaven. Isaiah chapter 5 and 6, Isaiah talks about visions of heaven and he sees these angels of God who are the most holy angels of God. They are around the throne of God, but even them, they have to cover their faces and they cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God is absolutely holy. You go all the way to the end of the Scriptures. In Revelation, Bible talks about John seeing a picture of heaven, the throne of God. And there is elders around him and all these creatures. And they bow down and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holiness is the most foundational and governing attribute of who God is. God is holy. You see examples that all throughout the Scripture. For example, in the Old Testament, you see how God revealed Himself to people. And you see this idea of separation going all around. For example, when God told them to build a tabernacle, there was a lot of separation happening. There were things that were only dedicated to a holy service. There was a place in the tabernacle called the holy place. There was a most holy place. There was a holy altar. There was a holy garments that high priests had to wear. There were holy utensils they used for worship. Things were holy. Once they were dead to God, they could never be used for an ordinary use. The most important job of a high priest was to teach the nation of Israel the difference between the holy and the holy. So God is absolutely holy. And He reveals Himself throughout the Scripture to many people. And He always reveals Himself as a holy God. Remember Exodus chapter 3. God shows up in the wilderness through a burning bush to Moses. And Moses is shepherding sheep and all of a sudden he sees this burning bush that's not burning out. So he goes there to check it out. And the first thing God tells him, "Moses, remove the sandals from your feet because the place you are standing is the holy ground." God is absolutely uncompromising holy and God cannot allow anything unclean or sinful in His holy presence. For example, when the high priest would enter the most holy place in the Old Testament, he could do only once a year.
And he only could do it with the blood that he brought as a sacrifice. He had to first cleanse himself. He had to cleanse the people. He had to come with the blood. And even then, Bible talks about the high priest having these little bells all around his garments. And you know what they would do? They would actually tie a rope around the waist of the high priest. So when he would enter the holy place, and if he would be actually unclean or sinful, he would fall dead in the presence of God. And they actually couldn't come and get him from there, so they would have to pull him out by the rope, because if they would enter the holy place, they would fall dead themselves. That's why they would listen for the sound of those bells as he was moving in the most holy place. They knew that he is alive. You see, holiness of God cannot and absolutely cannot stand any unclean or sinful thing. God is absolutely holy. And he reveals himself all throughout the scripture. Now, what's amazing is that hasn't changed yet. You know, a lot of people think, well, there was the Old Testament and the New Testament. God is kind of different and the things are a little bit different. And go back to Acts chapter 5. It's a New Testament. It's already church is established. Holy Spirit fell upon a church. Jesus died on the cross, ascended to heaven. There's this young couple. I'm not sure the young couple, but they're a couple called Ananias and Sapphira, right? And you know the story. It was an early church. They needed a lot of resources because the church was rapidly growing, and some people were selling their entire properties and donating it to the church because they were so blessed by God and wanted the church to be blessed. So this couple decided to do the same, but they decided to keep some of the money back. And as Acts chapter 5 says, when Ananias walks in and Apostle Peter begins to speak through the Holy Spirit and says, Ananias, how could you lie to the Holy Spirit? He says, listen, this property was yours all the time. God didn't ask you for it. He could have kept it, he could have sold it, or you could have sold it and given part of money. It was all yours, that's totally fine. But how could you lie to the Holy Spirit? Because they presented it as the entire amount, but they actually kept some of the money back. The Bible says when Apostle Peter stopped talking, what happened? Ananias fell dead. That's New Testament church. That's not the Old. That's New Testament. That's in our era. That's right now. And then his wife walks in a few hours later, and God gives her a chance. Say, hey, is that the price you guys sold the property? She's like, yes. And says, you agreed to lie to the Holy Spirit. And boom, she falls dead. See, this is, church, what happens when sin encounters the presence of God. Sin cannot stand in the presence of the Holy God. That's why there were so many regulations in the Old Testament for people to even come near the presence of God. When there is a story in the Old Testament when God was giving commandments to the nation of Israel, and he was giving it around this mountain, and he told Moses, please tell the people, don't even come near the mountain, because if they will come near, they will die. That's how holiness operates. God is absolutely holy. And now Apostle Peter, we read in the scripture, he says that just like the one who has called you, who is holy, you are to be holy. And that's an amazing statement, because this is something that absolutely defining about God is holiness. And he says that defining character of God, holiness, has to be defining of our lives. And church, listen, the same God before whom high priest, if he wasn't clean, he would fall dead. The same God that no sinful man could stand, or no man could stand in his presence. The same God tells you right now, you are to come boldly in the throne of grace to find grace and mercy in time of need. And listen, the only way you and I can approach God's presence, the only way you and I can come to God's presence and stay alive is because of one thing, because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you can go to church enough or read Bible enough or pray enough. The only way you can be possibly worthy to stand in the presence of Holy God is by accepting the forgiveness that Jesus offers through His death on the cross and through His sacrifice. You see, the only thing that is able to stand, to make us stand in the presence of God and enjoy the presence of God, is the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else. You can't earn it. Nobody's holy enough in and of themselves. It's only we get to come and enjoy the presence of God based on the credit history of Jesus Christ. He's the only holy and sinless person. And He died for us. And by accepting His sacrifice, by asking His forgiveness, we are credited His righteousness and His holiness. So when God sees you and me as children of God, when we come into His presence, He is not looking at you through what I did. He's looking at you through what Jesus did. And you and I can not only have our identity change, not being sinful, but being holy, we can also be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. That's why Apostle Peter says, just like the one who has called you is holy, so you are to be holy in all manner of your behavior. God has given you power, listen, to live a holy life. Amen. It's not a holiness you earn, but it's a holiness God gives you power to keep by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can never earn it. There is no good amount of deeds that you can do to earn God's holiness. God has called you holy because of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that I get to live any way I want to. It means that I have to live as the one who is holy because God has given me His righteousness and His holiness through Jesus Christ. Amen? So God is holy. He's absolutely holy. It's a defining feature of everything He is. Now, let's keep going. Second attribute of God I want to talk to you about is God is loving. God is loving. And I think one of the best places to illustrate that is Luke chapter 15. If you go to Luke chapter 15, there is three parables. There's a parable of lost coin. There's a parable of a lost son. And there's one more parable. And we talk about a parable of a prodigal son, but it's actually a parable of a loving father. Because the main character there is not a son, it's a father. And I love this story because it illustrates God's love so much. And it illustrates, Jesus illustrated in the point of a story form. You know the story, prodigal son, you learn in the Sunday school, right? One of the sons of the father decided, I'm not going to wait till my father dies, I want my inheritance now. So he comes to his dad and says, hey, give me a portion of my inheritance. He takes it, he goes to a faraway land, he absolutely wastes it. And he's dirt poor, he's homeless, he's feeding pigs, and he's trying to eat with pigs, but nobody's letting him. And one day he comes to his senses and says, hey, my father's house is full of bread. I'm going to go back to my father's house. And as he walks back, he begins to rehearse a prayer. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to say this to my father. And he begins to rehearse the speech. The repentance, he says, I'm not, Dad, I'm not even worthy to be a son. I'm not asking you to receive me as a son. Receive me as a servant. As one of you, I'll serve. I'll do whatever. I just want food. And I love the scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. We pick up the story at this point. It says, so he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. And ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. What an amazing picture of loving God. You see, Apostle Paul says in Romans that God proves His love to you and for me that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. He says that maybe for a good man, somebody will be bold enough to die, but God loved us. Jesus died for us when we were still full of sin. Listen, God loves you not because of what you can do for Him. God loved you not because of the potential you have once you get saved. God loved you not because of what you're going to do to Him. God loved you while you were still sinner, unlovable, filthy, full of sin, deserving hell. God loved you right there. And He shows His love through us throughout the Scripture. John says that God is love. It's one of His defining attributes that God's love, listen, God's love doesn't mean that He looks at you and says, hey, you know, I know you messed up. It's not a big deal. You're fine. I love you, so you're okay. That's not love. That would be compromising God's holiness. God's love caused him to send his son to die on the cross because God's holiness required every sin had to be paid for. Listen, my sin, your sin has never became cheaper or less expensive because Jesus died on the cross, we get to be forgiven. It cost Jesus full price. He paid for your sin a full price because God's holiness and God's justice required payment for every sin. But because God loved us, Bible says God so loved the world that He did what? He sent His only Son. See, that's love. It caused Him to send His only Son to die for you and for me. So we get to come to the presence of God. Our relationship with the Father is restored. Not because of what I do or what you do or you could ever do. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Church, and that's a foundation. That's a cornerstone of our faith. Is that we can never earn God's favor. We can never earn God's love. You can never earn heaven. The only one who earned it is Jesus Christ. And you and I get to go on His credit. You and I get to go because He was sinless. You and I get to go because we are washed by the blood of Jesus. Because when we repent, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. God is absolutely holy, but He's also loving. And just as that son, when he was walking home and he wasn't hoping for much. He was hoping for food. But his dad says, I love the scripture. The Bible says his dad saw him and he ran to him. And as his son began to say his speech, have you noticed that he hasn't finished it? His dad interrupted him. The Bible says he fell on his neck and he kissed him and embraced him. Listen, church, that's how a father welcomes sinners into his family. That's how he welcomes the most gruesome sinner, the person who doesn't deserve anything good. That's how much your heavenly Father loves us. And He loved us so much that He was willing to give His only Son so He can have a relationship with you, so He can save you, so He can redeem you. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ and how He is our access to the Father. And how He's the only way. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no other one who can take you to the presence of God except Jesus Christ. God is absolutely holy, but He is also absolutely loving. And we get to enter the presence of a holy God because of the blood of Jesus, which is upon our hearts. Last attribute I want to talk to you about this morning is unchangeable. God who is unchangeable. You know, there's many scriptures in the Bible that says, Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you sons of man are not consumed." James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows." One of my favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." You see, what's amazing about God, that He is holy, He is loving, He's also unchanging. God never changes. He was the same before He created man. He's the same right now. He's always going to be the same. You don't have to worry about when you wake up that God is in a bad mood today. I don't know how God feels about me today, because God never changes. His character never changes. His essence, His nature never changes. He's always the same. When He declared that He loves you with love eternal, He means He loves you with love eternal. It does not change that. And church, that's our foundation. That's our anchor. Because listen, as a creation, we are always changing. Right? We get older. Our life changes nonstop. Our life is defined by change. And the only thing that's unchangeable, our only anchor in life, is our relationship with God, is our faith. And it's especially felt when you go through changes in life, as you go through changes in job or relationship or something happened and it seems like everything's upside down and you don't know where you can find your solid footing. Listen, our solid footing is relationship with God. It's unchangeable. You know, it's a rock that you upon whom you can stand. It's always there. And listen, I love the scripture. The Bible says, God, I loved you with everlasting love. And the God who has found you, who reached out and found you in your darkness, in your sin, in your bondage, is the same God who will take you through life, who will give you victory, who will give you answer to your prayers, and who will be faithful till you see Him in heaven. Your God is absolutely unchanging, and He will always be there for you. And church, as especially as we go in through changes in life, we need to remember that. We need to stand upon the truth that God is unchanging. He can change. His nature can't change. Nothing changes about God. The Bible says He is yesterday, today, and He is forever the same. And I know what's amazing is that the same holy God and loving God, Apostle Paul in Romans says that when Spirit of God prays through you, He cries out the following phrase, Abba, Father. You know, Abba in Aramaic is an endearment term for dad. It's like you call your dad, daddy. It's what my kids call me. They call me daddy. Then they call me old man or father. That'd be very official, but daddy is a personal name. And Bible says that that holy God who lives in unapproachable light, Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, when He prays to Him, He calls Him daddy. He is your daddy because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Jesus. You get to have experience with Him as your daddy. And Romans chapter 12 says, what can separate us from the love of God? Is there a sickness or is death or angels or circumstances? Apostle Paul says, I am convinced there is neither life nor death, nor past, nor present, nor angels. There is nothing and nobody that can separate us from the love of God. Because He is your daddy. And listen, your daddy invites you into His presence. Your daddy invites you to be transformed into the image of Jesus. You know, when God looks at people, He doesn't call you sinners. You know, a lot of us, we call ourselves, oh, I'm just a sinner. When God looks at us, He calls you saints. Every time you see people in church referred in the New Testament, Apostle Paul refers to church as saints. Are we perfect? Far from it. We are full. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we sin. But when I sin, when I stumble, I run back to the cross. I ask for forgiveness. And His blood washes me and forgives me. And God restores my identity. And when God looks at me, He doesn't look at me how I messed up yesterday. When God looks at me, when I'm forgiven, God sees purity and holiness of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, you can come to the presence of the most holy God. It's an unimaginable idea. In the Old Testament, people could never imagine that you can come to the presence of the most holy God and you get to call Him Daddy. You got to call Him daddy. And you are His son. You are His child. And church, that's a relationship with God. That's so amazing and mind-blowing about it. The eternal God who was self-sufficient, who is self-sufficient, who is eternal, who is not in need of anyone or anything. He has created man and not only created him, when we messed up, He had provided a way of redemption. He saved us. He redeemed us. And He is calling us into relationship with Him. You know, David says there's a scripture in Psalms. When your father and your mother, Psalm 27:10 says, when your father and your mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Word of God says that He is the father to the fatherless. He is your daddy. He is your father. Holy God. And church, I pray that that causes our hearts to be aligned with His heart. The revelation of God as your father, as holy father, loving father, unchanging father, the one who's always looking out for you. He's your dad. And listen, you know why it's so important? Because dads provide identity. When kids grow up in a home without dad, they usually go through a very difficult time in life because they have a question, who am I? Because that question is answered by your dad. And listen, you might have grown up in a home without dad. Your dad might have walked out on you, forgotten about you. You have a dad that never walked out on you. His name is Jesus Christ, His eternal Father. Your father never walked out on you. He's there And we know who we are because of who He is. So when we look at a heart of God, when we look at a holiness of God and love of God and eternity of God and everything God has, we not only discover God of the Bible, we can discover who we are because we get to know who God is. Amen? Because you get to know who you are by getting to know your dad. You get to be rooted and established in your identity as a son, as a daughter of the living God by getting to know your dad. And church, God is inviting us to the relationship. And I'm not sure where you are in your walk with God. You might have served God all your life. Or maybe today you're here, you're just a seeker. You're looking for something unchangeable because you go through pain in life and everything seems to be changing and you're looking for something that doesn't change. And listen, that's your faith, that's your relationship with God. And your God is waiting today. The God of the Bible, the triune God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. He's inviting you today to be in a relationship with Him, and you do that by confessing that you're a sinner, by receiving Jesus Christ as yours, as the only payment for your sin, as the only Savior who can save your life. And God restores a relationship with the Father. Amen? Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. And listen, if you have never committed your life to Christ, if you have never surrendered your life, if you've never repented before God, what an opportunity today for you and anybody who never committed your life to Christ. Say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I can't save myself. I tried. It's not good enough. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Jesus, who is the only one who's good enough to make me acceptable in the sight of the Father. And church, if your heart has been, as you live through pain and change in life, has been drifted away from the heart of the Father, just come back today and say, God, I'm your son. I'm your son. And listen, He is your daddy. And He is present today. He's here to restore, to forgive, to instill His identity in you, to call you a son and daughter. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Not as people who have earned it. Not as people who are special because of something we did, Lord, but people who are special because we are loved by You and responded to Your call and be forgiven by Your blood and washed by Your blood. And I pray right now that that relationship with God, His Daddy, will be rekindled and restored in every heart. I pray for everyone, God, who's been going through a difficult season, God, and they feel honestly abandoned. They might feel so alone. They might feel so distant from You, Daddy. I pray right now that that cry of Holy Spirit in their heart, Abba, Abba, will reach heaven, Lord, and that there'll be restored connection. There'll be restored relationship. And I pray for people, God, who have never entered a relationship with You, Jesus, as the Lord and Savior right now. I pray, God, the Spirit of God will bring conviction and restoration, and goodness and love of God will lead us to repentance. We'll be restored as the sons and daughters of living God. Thank You, Jesus, for revealing the Father to us. Thank You for Your unchanging love. We thank You that because You are holy and righteous, You're making us holy and righteous. We can live and walk not just making it, God. We can live in a life of holiness, God. Our life, our attitudes, our actions can reflect God's holiness because of the Spirit of God who empowers us and lives on the inside of us. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. We have fellowship and coffee and refreshments in the fellowship hall. I hope to see you all tonight at 5 p.m. Please come hungry. Feel free to skip lunch. You won't regret it. God bless you.